Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It's a privilege to take you into the eighth verse of Galatians chapter 6. We've been working our way through Paul's letter to the churches at Galatia since the top of the year, and now in the sixth month of the year, we're in the sixth and final chapter of this great book. I'm going to be sad to see it go. I've had such a good time journeying through. Verse 8, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." 8 needs 7. That shouldn't be a shocker. 7 told us, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And we've been telling you the last couple days, this is not a threat, this is just a statement, a fact. What you put in the ground is what you harvest. So you will never plant an apple tree that will give you oranges. Whatever a man sows, that's what comes out. So if you sow into those, and this connects back to verse 6, if you sow into where the word is shared, then what comes out? Sharing of the word. If you don't sow into that one that shares the word, what should you expect? No word shared. Okay, simple enough. Take that thought into the eighth verse. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Again, statement of fact, don't take it as a threat. What you put into your flesh comes out and dies, or comes out as death. No matter how good you treat your body, your flesh is corruptible, your flesh will fail. We could make it this simple. Put food into your body and waste comes out. Now that food will fuel your body, but eventually your body will break down and die. No matter how much you sow into the flesh, all you will reap are fleshly things. You could take it to this level. When you sow into the realm of the flesh, all you get back are things that break down. Buy a boat, what happens to the boat? Eventually the boat breaks down. That's not a threat. That's not God cursing you for buying a boat. It's a natural state of things. Things are corruptible. That which is incorruptible is that which is in the Spirit. This is why Jesus makes the statement, don't lay your treasure up where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay it up in the Spirit, in the kingdom of heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. What is Jesus saying? Don't save money, because saving money is bad. No, he's making a statement of fact. That is more valuable, that is unseen, than that which is seen. Don't put your heart only in that which is seen, because that which is seen will rust and corrupt. It's the same phrase Paul uses here in 8. So to your flesh, you get of your flesh corruption. So to your spirit, you get of the Spirit everlasting life. So the things that come out of your sowing into the spirit realm contribute to the life everlasting that you are living. And so as you sow, and let's keep that in context, as you sow into he or she or it that shares with you the good news, this is back up in verse 6, as you share with them the good things that you have, you are sowing into your own life everlasting. No, you're not giving to go to heaven. We need to stop looking at everlasting life as heaven. If you look at everlasting life as heaven, then Galatians 6:8 is going to sound like you can put money in and go to heaven. So either that is what Galatians 6:8 is saying, or we're wrong about what we think to be everlasting life, or at least we're not thinking completely about what it means to have everlasting life. I don't discount life after death, life everlasting, but I do discount the idea that that starts when you die. I believe that starts when you receive Christ. Everlasting life. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that everlasting life doesn't start when you die, it starts when you live in Christ. You partake of his resurrection. And so as you sow into he or she or it that provides you with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, let's say it that way, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. You put into that, it's going to come back to you. If you don't put into that, then you're not going to get anything back. Keep that in mind. Is this a good principle for life? Well, absolutely it is. So I want to see good things. Good way to do that, maybe sow into the world good things. Or Jesus said it this way: treat other people the way you wish you were treated, the way you'd like to be treated. As you do that, what are you doing? You're sowing into them the good that you believe you will receive. So this is not, I did bad, God's going to give me bad. I did good, God's going to give me good. I think that's abusing the context, and I think it's taking it completely out of its setting. Sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption in that flesh. This doesn't mean we don't sow to our flesh. You sow to your flesh every time you eat breakfast. But you're going to get corruption out of it eventually. I mean, yes, it's going to sustain you, but you're going to die. There's no permanence in that. What's the opposite? What would be the difference? Sowing into the realm of the spirit, feeding your spirit man, putting into the spirit man, putting into the things of the spirit. Or as I think Paul says in that sixth verse, share good things with those who teach you the word. So a part of what we have is a responsibility. I know we hate that word. Everybody hates that word. Who wants to talk about responsibility when you can talk about so many other fun things, right? We have a responsibility to do something powerful with this grace. I don't think we have to shoulder the burden of trying to change the world. As you've probably heard me say several times lately, don't try to shoulder the burden of changing the world, but perhaps pick up the burden of making your world a little less terrible. That doesn't seem all that hard. If you could make your world a little less terrible, it might be a little better for someone else. And making it a little better for someone else could be considered the same as changing the world, or at least changing their world. I had a testimony come to me one time. I'll never forget it. I had made the statement, you know, I don't think I can change the world, but I'm going to do what I can to help change someone's life and make a difference. And I got a testimony of a guy who wrote our ministry and said, I can tell you that I've been listening to you preach grace, and you may not have changed the world, but you changed mine. And man, that moved me. I get those all the time. And what an, I had one just the other day. Someone came and saw us in a ministry meeting and blessed our ministry with a donation. But more importantly, they blessed us with their presence. They drove to come and hear us. And it was a couple, and the woman shared a testimony that she was praying one day, and the Lord said, go buy a book by Paul White. And she said, I had never heard of you. And she said, I went online and I guess she typed in books by Paul White. And my book, Revelation and Transformation, came up. And she read it and has been listening ever since, and probably is listening to this podcast. Man, that moves me. And they blessed me. They blessed into the ministry because the ministry had been such a blessing to them. Guys, the gospel works. The Holy Spirit, He is real and He is alive. He works. To speak into someone's spirit the name of someone they've never heard of, and that book be the key in transforming their walk, that's not only amazing, that's beyond humbling. That individual sowed into the Spirit, and I believe they're tasting the everlasting life. We'll do verse 9 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.